Hi, I'm David Fettes, and this talk is about negation and disjunction. Before we get into those two terms, let's just remember what a truth functional connective is. It's a way of connecting propositions such that the truth value of the resulting complex proposition can be determined by the truth value of the propositions that compose it. So when you have a connective, then you can predict what the truth values are going to be if you know the truth values of the individual propositions that were put together by that connective. An atomic proposition is a statement that makes just one claim, and there's no truth functional connective in that atomic statement, such as and, or, not, or if, then. The floor has been mopped, the dishes have been washed, those are atomic propositions. A complex proposition links more than one proposition with truth functional connective words, and, or, not, if, then. Examples of a complex proposition, snow is white and snow is cold. The floor has been mopped and the dishes have been washed. So there's four truth functional connectives that we're going to be considering. We've already looked at conjunction. In the future, we'll be looking at the conditional symbolized by the horseshoe. But in this talk, we're going to focus on negation symbolized by the tilde and disjunction symbolized by the wedge or lowercase v. Let's start out by looking at negation. Negation is the truth functional operator that switches the truth value of a proposition from false to true or from true to false. So let's take the statement, dogs are mammals. To negate that, you say dogs are not mammals, or it is not the case that dogs are mammals. And negation can be stated in more than one way. There are various wordings. The negation of Satan is good is Satan is not good, or Satan isn't good, or it's not true that Satan is good, or it's not the case that Satan is good. You might want to say Satan is bad, but that's a different kind of proposition. So if you had your atomic proposition as Satan is good, then the negation of that is expressed in various ways. Not, isn't, not true, not the case. Each proposition is the negation of the atomic proposition, Satan is good. So what is involved with negation when it comes to its impact on propositions? Unlike other truth functional connectives, negation does not connect propositions. Why would we call it a connective if it doesn't connect? Well, it's called a truth functional connective because it changes the truth value of propositions in a truth functional way. That is, if we know the truth value of a proposition that we negate, then we know the truth value of the negated proposition. If we know that a statement was true and we negate it, then we know the negation is false. If we know that a proposition is false and we negate it, then we know that the negation is true. The truth table for negation is pretty simple. In the top row, you have the proposition and then the negation of the proposition, P and then not P. And so you have two possibilities. P is either true or false. If P is true, then not P is false. If P is false, then not P is true. Simple enough. Now, in propositional logic, a constant is a capital letter we use to represent an atomic proposition. So let's say we're looking at two atomic propositions, or one atomic proposition. Satan is good. We'd symbolize that with a capital S. If we want to say Satan is not good, then we write tilde S, and that symbolizes Satan is not good. If you say that the statement Michael is good, we'll symbolize that with the constant M. If you want to symbolize Michael is not good, then you'll say tilde M, and that means Michael is not good. So if you put together a complex proposition, here's how you do it. S means Satan is good. M means Michael is good. So what does tilde S dot M mean? Well, if S means Satan is good, then tilde S means Satan is not good. The raised dot means and Michael is good, so you get a result, Satan is not good, and Michael is good. That's what tilde S dot M means. Now, if we want to translate the other way, if we want to take a complex proposition and turn it into symbolic logic, let's give a few examples of that. Samson loved Delilah, but Delilah did not love Samson. How do we symbolize that? Well, first of all, we have to have our atomic propositions. So we'll use the constant S for Samson loved Delilah. That's our first atomic proposition. The second atomic proposition is Delilah loved Samson. You say, no, she didn't. And the sentence says Delilah did not love Samson. But just remember, we're symbolizing atomic propositions, and an atomic proposition cannot contain a truth functional connective. It can't contain a truth functional operator, and the word not is an operator. So you can't have an atomic proposition that contains not or a kind of negation. You can add the negation later. So again, Samson loved Delilah, and the second atomic proposition is Delilah loved Samson. And then if you want to symbolize that, you say S, and remember the word but is a raised dot. There's several ways of expressing a conjunction, but the raised dot is how you express that. S, raised dot, and then tilde D, because we know Delilah didn't love Samson, but if D means Delilah loved Samson, then tilde D means she didn't. So if you see S dot tilde D, it means Samson loved Delilah, but Delilah did not love Samson. Another example. Joshua and Caleb did not fear the giants. Well, you begin by asking, what are the two atomic propositions? Joshua feared the giants. Remember again, you can't have Joshua did not fear the giants as an atomic proposition because not is an operator. So it always has to be stated without the not in it when you're looking for the atomic propositions. So Joshua feared the giants is one atomic proposition, and Caleb feared the giants is the other. We'll symbolize those with J and C. And then we express the proposition, Joshua and Caleb did not fear the giants, by having tilde J, raised dot, tilde C. Negation of Joshua feared the giants and negation of Caleb feared the giants. So you see how that's done. You take the overall complex proposition, you break it down into the two, or more in some cases, but in this case, two atomic propositions. Joshua feared the giants, Caleb feared the giants. Then you say, what are the operators? Well, there's two negations. Joshua didn't fear them, and Caleb didn't fear them, so you put the negation in front of both of those, and then you conjoin them, put them together by using the dot for the conjunction. Well, that's enough about negation for now. We'll get more practice on it in exercises and as we move into other aspects of logic. But let's talk now about disjunction. And disjunction can be expressed by the English word or either or. So if you have a complex proposition that's a disjunction, you could say Charlie or Julia tracked mud into the house. And you'd symbolize that by C, the constant for Charlie tracking the mud, or J, the constant for Julia tracking the mud, and the symbol for disjunction is the wedge, or as we type it, the lowercase v. And that's the disjunction of two atomic propositions. Charlie tracked mud into the house, Julia tracked mud in the house. Give each of those propositions their constant and put a v or a wedge in between them, and you've got your disjunction. Now, when we're in logic, symbolic logic, there is what's called an inclusive or and an exclusive or. A disjunction that's true when either disjunct is true and even when both disjuncts are true is what we mean by an inclusive or. So if you say either Charlie or Julia tracked mud. Now C wedge J is true if Charlie tracked in the mud. It's true if Julia tracked in the mud. It's also true if both tracked in the mud. You know, when you read the English sentence, you might say, well, it means either or, and it couldn't be both. But if you mean an inclusive or, then you do mean that it's true, the statement either or is still true, even if both of them did it. The only case in which it's not true is if neither of them did it. So that's what's meant by an inclusive or. There's also an exclusive or that we're really not going to use much in logic. At least not as a symbol with that wedge V. A disjunction that's true only if one or the other, but not both of its disjuncts, it's true. That's what we mean by an exclusive or. We mean that the statement would be false if both of the disjuncts were true. So you say, Bob placed first or second in the race. Well, Bob placed first in the race or Bob placed second in the race. Clear enough. But Bob can't finish both first and second at the same time. That's impossible. So an exclusive or means you say Bob did this or he did that, but you know he didn't do both. As I said a moment ago, in our symbolic logic, the wedge means inclusive or, not exclusive. In formal logic, the wedge is always inclusive. So C wedge J is true if C is true, or if J is true, and it's true if both C and J are true. And there's a reason why the logic masters do that. You can make an exclusive or and build it out of other connectives, but if you needed to symbolize an inclusive or, you can't build that out of the other connectives that we're working with. So if you use the various connectives we're talking about, you can build and symbolize in logic the exclusive kind of or, which means either this one can be true or that one can be true, but not both. That can be symbolized using our connectives. And so we have to avoid using our understanding of an inclusive or with the wedge. An exclusive or with the wedge. The wedge is always inclusive, which means that if both are true in the disjunction, then the statement is true. C or J is true if both are true as well as when either are true. So a truth table of that, just a reminder, truth tables represent how the truth value of a complex proposition depends on the truth values of the propositions that compose that complex proposition. And here's a truth table for disjunction. In the top line, you have the two propositions P and Q, and then the complex proposition P or Q. And there's four different scenarios. You could have in the first line, P is true and Q is true. Second line, P is true, Q is false. Third line, the other way around, P is false, Q is true. And in the fourth line, P and Q are both false. What are the truth values? Well, if P and Q are true in a disjunction, then P or Q is true. If T is true and Q is false, then P or Q is true. If P is false and Q is true, then P wedge Q is true. So, in all three scenarios, if they're both true, then the disjunction is true. If one is true, either one, then the disjunction is true. The only time a disjunction is false is if both parts of the disjunction, both atomic propositions in the disjunction are false. Then the disjunction is indeed false. So, let's work through a few examples. Here's a disjunction where S symbolizes Satan is good, M symbolizes Michael is good. What does S wedge M mean? It means Satan is good or Michael is good. Now, let's work it the other direction. What does it mean if we have those same two atomic propositions? What does it mean to say tilde S wedge M? What's that mean? It means Satan is not good because tilde is a negation. So if the S means Satan is good, then tilde S means Satan is not good. The wedge means or, and M simply means Michael is good. Here's another example. What does this one mean? S wedge tilde M. Well, S means Satan is good, so that'd be the first part. You'd say Satan is good, wedge means or, so Satan is good or, and then you use the tilde for negation, that means Michael is not good. So you'd say Satan is good or Michael is not good. If you take that complex proposition, that would be false because it's false to say Satan is good and it's false to say Michael the archangel is not good. So in either case, S or not M, the result is false. But remember, in the truth table, in disjunction, both have to be false in order for the complex proposition to be false. In this case, both are false. It's false to say Satan is good. It's false to say Michael is not good. So even if you put them together with an or, the result is still a false statement. Here's another example. Either God wrote the Bible or people wrote the Bible. So we have to first identify what are our atomic propositions. Well, let's use G to symbolize God wrote the Bible. Let's use the constant P to symbolize people wrote the Bible. And then how do we express that? Well, simply G wedge P. God wrote the Bible or people wrote the Bible. Let's do it the other direction and take this proposition. God, not people, wrote the Bible. Well, our atomic propositions are going to be God wrote the Bible, G, and people wrote the Bible, P. And if we're going to symbolize that, if we want to say God wrote the Bible, then we're going to say G. But we also want to say that people did not write the Bible. So we would say G, and remember now, I'm throwing you for a loop. Now we're going to conjunction. Remember, this isn't a disjunction. It's saying that God wrote the Bible and people didn't. So G symbolizes God wrote the Bible. The raised dot symbolizes and. And the tilde P means not people writing the Bible. So those are your truth functional connectives. Conjunction uses the raised dot, P and Q. Negation is the tilde, means not P. Disjunction is the wedge, means P or Q. And remember that that's an inclusive disjunction where it's true if either P or Q is true, and it's also true if P and Q are true. So it's an inclusive disjunction when you see the wedge. Later on, we'll get into that horseshoe business. But meanwhile, let's focus and do some exercises on negation and disjunction in your assignments.